Now, we promised you a surprise. We have a surprise special guest. And this special guest has a very important communication from hot off the campaign trail from the presidential campaign. I will say no more. Please welcome our surprise special guest, John Nichols.
I cannot see you, but I know you are beautiful. If I could see you, I might have doubts. Because I know we have been through a lot here in Wisconsin. But brothers and sisters, could there be a better day for us to gather than on the day when Scott Walker is being asked whether he might accept a cabinet position in someone else's administration? And if you remember Scott Walker's explanation for his hair loss, you know how threatening the word cabinet is to that man. No, brothers and sisters, I'm not here to pick on Scott Walker. No, it's not necessary any longer. We sent him out to America, and America recognized what the people at Bob Fest knew all along. This man shouldn't ought to be a president of the United States. This man shouldn't ought to be a Republican nominee for president of the United States. But most of all, this man shouldn't be the governor of Wisconsin. Now, I follow politics. As many of you know, I grew up in Union Grove, Wisconsin, where they hold the Racine County Fair. Folks ask me, what was your preparation for covering politics? They say, did you go to Harvard? Did you go to Yale? Did you go to the University of Wisconsin? I say, unfortunately, no. I got my education on covering politics at the Racine County Fair on Sunday night when they held the demolition derby. When proud people rolled their cars out onto that field and crashed them into one another until one car struggled off the field and was declared the winner. I was reminded of that Wednesday night. When Donald Trump, that's a punchline right there. And Carly Fiorina, who is the only person in the world funnier than Donald Trump, were arguing about who was the worst CEO. And I thought to myself, finally, you're both right at the exact same time. You are both absolutely indefensible people. And you are perpetuating the greatest lie ever told in politics, that America could or should be run like a business. The last thing we need is a failed CEO as the President of the United States. The last thing we need is someone with experience in laying people off and ripping people off We've had too much of that. We need a president who wants to put people to work and bring them together, not divide and conquer them. It's a frightening night, brothers and sisters. It's a frightening night when the only two people who make sense are Lindsey Graham and Rand Paul. But I was delighted by one person in that debate above all others, and that was my man, Bobby Jindal. I was on TV about a year ago, and I said, and I asserted it publicly in a very open setting, I said, you know what? Scott Walker isn't going to do any better in this presidential race than Bobby Jindal. And everybody looked at me like I was crazy. And some people have even brought that up since. I've been, same TV show, and my conservative colleague on it, he'll say, yeah, you once said he wouldn't do any better than Bobby Jindal. Well, brothers and sisters, I just got the poll from New Hampshire. Bobby Jindal and Scott Walker are in a statistical tie. And I'm not really, I promise you, I'm not cheering for anyone in that race, but I do hope Bobby gets up one point more. Because I want Scott Walker to know just how badly he lost. But one of the things that struck me was that Bobby Jindal said, this presidential race, it's a horrible thing, and he's being an anti-establishment in the way that only governor of Louisiana could be. Being anti-establishment, he said, you know, this race for president, now it's coming down to honest socialists versus corrupt conservatives. I presume he wasn't referring to himself. But he said, honest socialists versus corrupt conservatives. And I said, finally a choice. And the interesting thing was, of course, he was referring not to any of his fellow Republicans. The honest socialist he was talking about was Bernie Sanders. Bob Fest is nonpartisan, no endorsements. But Bob Fest does have a certain affection for those who've actually come to Bob Fest. And as you know, Bernie Sanders has come to Bob Fest again and again and again and again. Year after year after year after year. Now, I'm not saying Bob Fest gives you any special power, any special strength. But I will note that at this point in national polls, Scott Walker, who I don't believe is a Bob Fest favorite, is polling in the range of 1 or 2%. Maybe 3. Bernie Sanders is polling over 40% in New Hampshire. He's in first place in New Hampshire. They just had a poll out of Iowa that put him in first place in Iowa. And I'm not telling you he's some kind of front runner. I'm telling you that he is competitive. In fact, right now, going in some of these states, Bernie Sanders' percentage is a 25-1 advantage over Scott Walker. And so, of course, we invited anyone who wanted to send greetings to Bob Fest to do so. Scott Walker has, I assume his letter will arrive tomorrow morning and we'll read it to you tomorrow. But Bernie Sanders called us today and said he was sorry he couldn't be here. There's a New Hampshire Democratic event of some kind. And I'll be blunt with you. I'm not happy about this. Because anybody who prioritizes New Hampshire over Wisconsin is never going to quite get to the top of my list. But I understand president, campaign, all that stuff like that. Bernie Sanders apologized for not being at Bob Fest this year. And he said, you know, we will be together again, but I wonder, can we send a letter through to read to the folks at BobFest. So if you'll excuse me for reading to you, and if you'll excuse me for showing you how bad my eyes are, I will read you September 19th, it's dated a little off, September 19th, 2015, dear friends, I am sorry that I am not able to be here with you today. Having attended several Fighting BobFests in the past, I know that you have a great day ahead of you. Let me begin by recognizing my dear friends, Ed and Betty Garvey. Ed, as many of you know, has been the driving force behind this event in past years and has done so much for the progressive movement in Wisconsin and beyond. He has my dearest love and best greetings. I began running for president just 5 months ago, and the momentum has been truly incredible. We've had the largest turnouts of any campaign in Iowa and New Hampshire and on the West Coast. Over 15,000 came out in Seattle, 28,000 in Portland, and over 27,000 in Los Angeles. And of course, we started it all with 10,000 coming out in Madison, Wisconsin. Now, as of the past few weeks, we're leading the polls in both New Hampshire and Iowa. It's not just polls and large turnouts that make our campaign so extraordinary, however. Ours is a people's campaign. We don't have a super PAC funded by billionaires, bankers, or big business. We don't represent their interests, and we don't want their money. Yet our fundraising efforts have been hugely successful. We've received more individual contributions than any other campaign, from over 400,000 individuals, with an average contribution of $31. People ask why we are resonating. A lot of it has to do with the issues we're talking about, but the truth is, corporate America, the billionaire class, and Wall Street are so powerful for any one person, even a president, to confront alone. We need a powerful grassroots movement of millions who are prepared to fight back, to say loudly and clearly that this country and our government cannot belong to them. It must belong to all of us. It cannot belong to a handful of billionaires and wealthy donors. It must belong to the citizens of the United States. Events like BobFest are a vital part of the struggle to reverse these terrible trends. When we stand together, black and white and Hispanic, young and old, men and women, gay and straight, native-born and immigrant, there is nothing, nothing, nothing we cannot accomplish. Thank you for being part of this important event and helping to build a political revolution to reclaim our commonwealth and our democracy. Sincerely, Bernie Sanders. Brothers and sisters, I say this sincerely. BobFest welcomes anyone, any candidate who believes in the progressive ideals of Robert M. La Follette, the principles on which this event, but also this movement in Wisconsin, was forged. We're proud that Bernie Sanders has come to our events. We're proud that other candidates, Green Party candidates, other Democrats, progressives from across the spectrum, even some libertarians like Ed Thompson, have come to Fighting BobFest events. We believe that there is something much more important than an individual or a political party. We believe that there are a set of values that rise above any candidacy and above any campaign. And those values begin with a basic premise: that in a country as wealthy as this, we should never, we can never say we have the money for a war, but we do not have the money to educate a child. We believe, as Robert M. La Follette did, that an individual working 40 hours a week should be able to bring home enough pay to support their family, to be a part of their community, to go to their children's after-school programs. We do not believe that it is the job of government to enrich and empower corporations. We believe it is the job of government to assure that working people have enough to live on, to get by, to thrive, to prosper. And brothers and sisters, above all, we believe that our votes ought to matter more than their dollars. We believe that when we replace an oligarchy of wealth and privilege with a governance by citizens, that we will be able to replace economic inequality with real equality and justice. We believe that when we replace the power of corporations with the power of people, we can replace wage stagnation with prosperity for all. And we know, as Robert M. La Follette did, that when you replace a plutocracy of the wealthy, an oligarchy of corporations, with citizen power, we will not be led into illegal and immoral wars that should not be fought. We will live in peace and prosperity with the rest of our country and the rest of the world. This is a night of humor, my friends. This is a night of joy. And on a night of humor and joy, let us celebrate the fact that we have ended a year that began with people talking about the prospect that Scott Walker would be president of the United States, and that will end with the prospect of people talking about when he will leave as governor of Wisconsin. We will have our state back, brothers and sisters. We will have our state back, and we will have our nation back, and we will have our world back. The fight that we begin here extends from this place across Wisconsin, across this country, across this planet. We are reversing the course of wrong. And understand, we may have recognized it a little earlier than others. And sometimes when you see what's wrong a little earlier than others, you take a few hits, you get bruised, you get knocked down, sometimes you lose. But Brother John Matthews, right up here, the head of Madison Teachers, Inc. Brother John Matthews knows that when you get knocked down, you stand right back up and you get into that fight again, and you don't stop fighting until you win, because no fight is over until we win it. I remember when I was heading up to that Capitol a couple days into the Wisconsin uprising. I couldn't figure out why it was so hard to get up there, why the traffic was so difficult. And then I realized that Brother John Matthews had, in his Democratic Union, small d Democratic, teachers had decided to walk out in support of the Wisconsin uprising. They had gone to the Capitol to sit in with the students and the teaching assistants and the farmers and the snowplow drivers and the teachers and the nurses. But that traffic jam that day wasn't the teachers marching to the Capitol. It was the students from East High School on the east side of Madison who had gathered to march in solidarity with their teachers. Those teachers, those nurses, those librarians, those firefighters, those police officers, all those people who gathered in our Capitol. Scott Walker says that not listening to them, that rejecting them, that pushing them away, that refusing to cooperate with them, prepared him to be the president of the United States. He says it prepared him to deal with the greatest threats in the world. Brothers and sisters, you're going to hear a lot of jokes tonight, but you will never, ever hear a more absurd statement than that. Because, brothers and sisters, the people who gathered in the capital of this state to challenge Scott Walker are the greatest heroes of this state. They rose up. They fought. They did the right thing. That is you. That is us. I am so proud to be with you today. I am so proud to say we have stood in solidarity. We realized long ago that our struggle is a long one, but our struggle is one that we will win. Solidarity! 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 That's right.